to Tune to Two Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Coming up in this hour, crime shows. Later on, we hear police drama from the lineup, but right now, it's The Whistler, Elliot Lewis, the star, in this February 4th, 1946 broadcast from CBS called Panic.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for The Whistler. And remember, let every traffic signal remind you, with new Signal gasoline, you do go farther than ever. And now, The Whistler's strange story, Panic.
Leora had been on his mind all morning. He tried not to think of her, tried to throw himself into the office routine, dragged out all the things he'd set aside during the past month, told his secretary they were going to work late. Then, by 1 in the afternoon, he found himself slipping, letting his mind relax and settle on Leora again. And at 3, he discovered he was dictating nonsense to his secretary. At that point, he stopped suddenly and deliberately thought of Leora, of her leaving tonight, walking out of his life forever. An hour later, he was hurrying out of the passport office on his way to the steamship agency.
Yes, sir?
I believe a Mr. and Mrs. Charles Moffat are listed on tonight's sailing. Would you check it for me, please?
Of course, sir. Midnight sailing, Baratania. Yes, here we are. Mr. and Mrs. Charles Moffat, A-deck cabin 12.
Is there any space left on that ship?
Well, as a matter of fact, sir, I have a cancellation right here.
I'll take it. The name's Kent Buckley.
That's the way it is, isn't it, Kent? You agree to be sensible, to remember that she's married to respectable, wealthy Charles Moffat, surrounded by signs that say, "Keep off the grass," in big red letters. But it's always been hard for you to be reasonable where Leora's concerned, hasn't it? Yes, Kent. And it's certainly not reasonable for you to be taking the elevator to the 10th floor of the Park Lane Apartments that night at 9 o'clock. Just 3 hours before sailing time, and walking down the corridor to Leora's door.
Kent.
Leora, darling, I had to come.
Charles is back in the study. You've got to go.
I don't give a hang where Charles is. I'd just as soon have it out with him right now. I couldn't get you out of my mind.
But we agreed to forget it.
Did you?
No.
Neither did I.
There's no sense to this, Kent. We're leaving in an hour.
That's why I came, Leora. I'm going, too.
What are you talking about?
I got passage this afternoon. I'm not going to let him take you away.
Oh, Kent. Kent, darling.
Leora.
Mm-hmm. Charles.
Hello, Buckley. Go on upstairs, Leora.
Charles, please.
Get out of here, you two-timing little brat.
Wait a minute, Moffat.
Did you hear what I said, Leora?
Get away from her.
Oh, you've got something to say, have you? Well, find yourself an answer for this one.
Oh, Charles! Charles! Stop! Don't hit him again! Oh. All right. All right, Charles! There!
Leora? Leora, that poker, you... Wait a minute. He's not breathing. He's not. You killed him.
Yes. I meant to kill him.
You better answer the phone.
Yes. Yes, of course. Hello? Oh, yes, the baggage. I'll call down when it's ready. The expressman's downstairs.
Wait a minute. Let me think. I gotta think. Oh, Leora. Leora, please.
What have I done? Ken, what have I done?
Armand, you better sit down. There. Think. We gotta get rid of him some way.
There's no way. We're on the 10th floor.
We got 3 hours till sailing time. 3 hours.
We'll never get away. There's no use trying.
The baggage. Wait a minute. Leora, where are the steamer trunks?
In the study.
Come on.
Oh, Ken. It's no use.
Oh, we've got a chance. Whose trunk is this?
Charles. His clothes.
It's big enough. Yeah.
You mean?
Sure. He's going in it. Come on. Help me get it open.
Hello? Just a minute. It's the expressman again.
Tell him to come up in 5 minutes.
Oh. Hello? Trunks will be ready in 5 minutes. Yeah. Yes, please come up.
Listen, Leora, you've got to get hold of yourself.
Oh.
This is going to take nerve.
Yes, Kent.
All right, now listen. I'm going to leave now. I'll meet you on the pier. The trunks will be sent aboard.
Yeah.
You and I are going up the gangplank as Mr. and Mrs. Charles Moffat.
They'll check.
Not until later. The cabin check comes after we get to sea. Maybe not till tomorrow morning.
Can't it
move? It's gotta work. You know what happens if it doesn't?
Yes, I do.
All right, now listen. Your husband's going to commit suicide tonight, right after we sail. He's going over the side. If I'm right about that cabin check, if it doesn't come off till tomorrow morning...
But if it does...
We'll find a way somehow. I gotta go now. Remember, I'll see you on the dock.
Well, Kent, you know what panic is now. The blind, paralyzing terror that begins somewhere in your stomach and creeps upward towards your brain. You feel it as you stand on the dock, waiting for Leora, watching the stevedores load baggage, trying to recognize the tan, brass-bound trunk that holds the body of Charles Moffat. You've got his overcoat on, dark glasses, his hat and muffler pulled close around your face, so your features are hardly visible. You stand out of the crowd, moving toward the gangplank, waiting. 5 minutes, 10, then...
Kent.
Oh, Leora.
Get out of sight, quickly.
What's the matter?
Hurry.
There's no one in the freight office. Come on. What's the matter?
She's here. I forgot all about her.
Who's here?
Alice Merton, the friend of Charles. I just saw her, then I remembered. Kent, she's going too. She's on the same ship.
Oh, good Lord, where is she now?
Wait a minute. Let me look. Over there. That woman in blue talking to the purser.
Yeah.
Oh, Kent, if she ever sees you, Rick.
Wait. She's turning away. Going back to the waiting room.
Looking for us, probably.
If we can get to the cabin we're in, you can tell her I'm sick, can't see anyone.
Well,
as soon as I can get away, I'll leave the ship by the visitor's gangplank and come back on board under my own name. Understand?
I think so.
All right. Let's go. Remember what I told you. I'll do the talking. Just keep calm.
Cabin 22, right? Tickets, please.
Here you are.
Mr. and Mrs. Charles Moffett. A deck, cabin 12, right? There you are.
Come on.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, Mr. Moffett.
Yes?
I'm awfully sorry, sir. I have a note here about cabin 12. Apparently, the agent made an error. It's been sold to two parties.
What do you mean?
Well, would cabin 60 be all right? It's on the same deck and it's double.
Yes, that'll be all right. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
This way, Mr. Moffett. Right down at the end of the deck. Your hand baggage is down there now.
All right, Leora.
What about the purser?
I don't know. It was dark. He couldn't have seen my face.
Oh, here we are. Cabin 60. Oh, darn it. The key's stuck again. I'm going to have it fixed. I keep telling myself.
Kent, shh. Kent, look.
Leora! Charles, darling!
Mrs. Burton?
Can't you hurry?
This doggone key.
Now, let me try.
It's stuck.
Charles, I've been looking all over for you.
Hey, look out. Let me have that key here.
Wait a minute, Charles.
All right, there. Get rid of her quick.
Leora, darling, where have you been?
Hello, Ella.
About your trunks, Mrs. Moffett. They're on their way to the baggage room, but I can have them.
Excuse me, Leora. I simply must see Charles.
Wait a minute. Ella, Charles is quite ill.
He's ill?
I've got to get below, Mrs. Moffett, if you'll just tell me about
I'll talk to you later. Don't...
Well, I'm sure Charles won't mind.
Oh, please, Ella, please. I said Charles is ill. He doesn't want to see anyone now. You understand?
Why, of course. If he feels that way.
Okay, I'll send the trunks to the back.
I'm sorry, Alice. He's been very low lately. I'm sure he'll feel better tomorrow.
Why, of course. Good night, Leora.
Well, that was a close one.
Oh, I've got to sit down.
What about the baggage?
I don't know. I couldn't hear what he was saying. Something about the baggage.
We'll have to get it later. I hope they don't make the cabin check tonight.
All ashore! It's going ashore!
Oh, I gotta get off.
The overcoat.
Oh, here. There. Right, now listen. Forget about the body. We'll get rid of it later. Wait until about 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning?
Check the deck carefully.
Yes?
Then run out and scream that Charles has jumped overboard. Shoot the works, collapse everything. Scatter his personal stuff around the room so it'll look like he's been here. Okay?
Okay.
Yes, Kent. Panic is a terrible thing, isn't it? And it's eating away at you as you leave the ship with the bon voyageurs, as you return and present your own ticket. Then, an hour later, after the ship is pulled out, you discover to your horror that they're making the cabin check.
Who is it?
Kent, open up, quick. They're making the cabin check right now. Be here in 20 minutes. We gotta do it now.
That man outside.
What man?
He's hung around here ever since you left. Out there by the rail. Yes. He's back again.
I'll have to get rid of him. You know what to do?
I think so.
Good luck, darling.
There. Now.
Okay.
Nice night.
Oh. Oh, you startled me. I didn't see you.
Sorry. Cigarette?
No, thanks. I got a cigar here.
Buckley's my name.
Grayson. Glad to know you, Buckley.
Uh-huh. First trip?
Well, matter of fact, it is.
Well, have a drink on it at the bar down on the next deck.
No, thanks. I don't drink.
Oh. Been over the ship?
Yeah. Nice tub at that.
Well, I was just about to take a walk around the deck. How about joining me?
Oh, you better stick around. Purser's collecting the tickets. Maybe afterwards, huh?
Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there they are now.
Yeah, there they...
Oh, what's wrong?
My heart. Huh? Doctor!
Hey, good Lord. Purser! This man's had a heart attack.
That was the only way out, wasn't it, Kent? Grayson and the purser carry you down to the ship's hospital, and the doctor examines your heart, then leaves you to rest on the couch. You can almost see the purser now, moving closer and closer to Leora in cabin 60. There's nothing you can do except wait, and your mind takes up the rhythm of the clock. He's at cabin 20 now. 22. 24.
26. 28. 30. 32.
You race up on deck. The ship is turning around. Searchlights are playing in long arcs across the water. The passengers, officers, members of the crew stand at the railings, trying to see through the blackness. And Leora's on deck outside the cabin.
Quiet, please.
Following instructions.
Quiet. Now, Mrs. Moffat.
I don't know. I don't know why he did it. He just got up all of a sudden and said he was going for a walk. I looked out the window just in time to see him climb over the railing.
I see. That's rather odd, isn't it?
Leora. Leora, darling.
Oh, Alice. Alice, dear, I'm so glad you're here.
There was something wrong, wasn't there? That's why he acted so strangely a while ago.
Pardon me. What's your name, please?
Alice Merton. I'm a friend of Mr. Moffat.
You say he was acting strangely?
Yes, he was ill.
Yes, yes, that's it. He wasn't himself all afternoon. He said he was ill.
That's hardly a reason for suicide.
I beg your pardon.
Yes?
Mr. Moffat had every reason for suicide. My name's Grayson. I'm one of his creditors.
I see.
I took passage on this ship because I suspected he was leaving the country to escape his financial obligations.
Oh. Well, I didn't know.
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Moffat.
I'd better take you down to the dispensary, Mrs. Moffat. The doctor will give you a sedative.
Oh, this is
there,
so awful.
There, now. Everything is going to be all right.
Well, that's one important hurdle, isn't it, Kent? But the rest is going to be more difficult. There must be no way for anyone to connect you and Leora, to link up your convenient heart attack with Charles Moffat's suicide. You have to take advantage of every moment the two of you are alone together. For example, as you are resting side by side on the beds in the ship's hospital, the doctor goes out for a moment.
Did I sound convincing?
Wonderful. Grayson was a blessing in disguise.
We can take our time now.
Yeah, three more nights. Get into Southampton in the morning of the 16th. If that trunk ever gets into customs...
Don't even think about it.
We gotta be careful. I'm worried about Grayson.
I know.
Look, I'll be in the lounge tomorrow morning after breakfast reading a magazine. You can come in.
Shh.
Here you are, Mrs. Moffat. Take two tablets tonight and a glass of water. Make you sleep.
Thank you, Doctor.
Mr. Buckley, I'm awfully puzzled about your heart.
Oh, it's only happened once or twice. It
seems perfectly normal. Strange, isn't it? You see her again the next morning as you sit in the ship's lounge, reading a magazine, back to back with Leora and Alice Merton on the sofa behind you.
I understand, dear. I know it's hard. After all, I thought as much of Charles as you did, but it's not going to help any to sit alone in your room and brood over it.
I know it, Alice.
I'm going to see the deck steward. Perhaps we can arrange a game of shuffleboard. I'll be right back.
Kent.
Grayson's been talking to the doctor.
Your heart?
Yeah, he's beginning to wonder, too.
Check the baggage clerk. They'll send the trunk up any time I want it.
Good.
When?
Not till we're ready.
You'll have to help me. I can't lift him alone.
I know it.
Leora, dear, it's all arranged. The steward has it all ready for us.
But, Alice, I...
Oh, no, not another word. That nice Mrs. Broderick's going to join us, and... let's see, we need one more. How about this young man? I beg your pardon.
Oh.
How do you do? I'm Mrs. Merton.
How do you do? Kent Buckley.
I'd like you to meet Mrs. Moffat, Mr. Buckley.
Oh, how do you do?
Hello. Would you like to join us in a game of shuffleboard, Mr. Buckley?
I'm sorry, not quite up to it today. Perhaps tomorrow.
All right, tomorrow. It's a date. Good shot, Leora. Your turn, Mr. Buckley.
All right, here goes.
those deck watches last night.
Yes.
And wait, here comes another one, Mrs. Merton.
All right. Oh, not bad. 10 points.
Ah, just getting warmed up. We'll do it during the captain's dinner.
That's on the last night. Why are we doing
it? What are you waiting for? Hurry up.
Oh, just a second. It's our best chance. Everyone will be there. Nobody on deck. All right, here's the last one. How's that?
Oh, you're too good for me. Another 10.
Now, where'll I get going?
Kent, I don't see why.
Skip it for now. Look, leave your green purse in the dining room today at lunch. I'll pick it up.
My goodness, you two seem to be old hands at this game.
Oh, we've just had a run of luck. Kent's never played...
Oh, it's Kent, is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Buckley.
Oh. Oh, well, you're up, Mrs. Merton.
This your purse, Mrs. Moffat?
Well, yes, yes, it is.
A gentleman found it in the dining room.
Oh, thank you very much. Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Everyone will show at captain's dinner except deck watches. Get trunk to cabin by 6. Dinner starts 6:30. Watch me and leave when I do. Meet at cabin. Kent.
The waiting is the worst part of it, isn't it, Kent? Sitting, wondering what she's thinking. Wondering if she'll be successful in getting the trunk to the stateroom. A whole day of waiting. Then a night and another day. You're 24 hours out of Southampton and the customs. But you were right. Your best chance is during the captain's dinner, attended by all the passengers and officers. No one to worry about except the deck watches. And you've been careful to note the exact time the watch on the after deck goes down to the galley for coffee. You're at the table in the dining salon at 6:30, seated next to your friend, Mr. Grayson, the man who represents the creditors.
I saw you out playing shuffleboard yesterday, Buckley.
Yeah.
Enjoy it?
Yeah, great game.
A little strenuous.
You don't mean that.
I mean, for a man with a weak heart.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, if it hadn't been for that, I might have been able to stop Moffat before he went over the side. Matter of fact, I'd intended to go into his cabin and talk things over with him. That's how I happened to be standing out there on the deck.
Well.
And then you had to go and pull a heart attack at exactly the right moment.
Always pick the worst time.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost peculiar the way it happened.
Have you got a cigarette?
How about a cigar?
No, thanks, no. I better get some cigarettes. I'll be right back.
That's right, Kent. Make sure Leora sees you leave, then head for the cabin. Once the body is gone, Grayson and the whole lot of them can be as suspicious as they choose. The decks are deserted. Everything is right, isn't it, Kent? Exactly right.
Is the trunk in the room?
I had an awful time. He didn't want to send us out.
Never mind that. Is it there now?
Yes, it's
all
there.
All right. We can't be gone too long. Let's get going. Hurry. Don't touch the lights.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Where is it?
It's right over. And it's gone.
Well, Kent, the panic is back again, isn't it? The blind, black panic you felt when you looked down at Charles, dead at your feet back in the apartment. The trunk with Charles's body is gone. Everything, all the planning, the careful meetings, the dodging and lying was useless. The trunk is gone. You forget about caution now as you and Leora hurry down to the baggage room on C deck and call the clerk to the window.
Clerk! Clerk!
Yes, sir.
What happened to the trunk Mrs. Moffat had sent up to her room this evening?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, sir.
Where is it?
Well, it seems
that... Well, come on, where is it?
Perhaps the purser can explain.
Excuse me, Mackay.
Where is it, purser? It was in my cabin at 6 o'clock.
It was an error on my part, Mrs. Moffat. I neglected to inform the clerk.
Inform him of what?
Of the fact that due to Mr. Moffat's death, we have to impound all his personal effects as a matter of form.
What?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Moffat. It's simply routine.
What do you mean?
We'll have to hold the trunk here till we arrive. But it will be available to you after its contents are examined and itemized by the authorities.
Oh.
So you see, really there's no reason at all to become alarmed, is there?
Next Monday at 9 o'clock, The Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. This program produced by George W. Allen with tonight's story by Harold Swanton, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The Whistler, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from February 4th, 1946. The story Panic, penned by Harold Swanton, would be one of many he contributed to the Whistler series through the 1940s. Even his second script for radio was on the suspense series heard on January 25th, 1945 on CBS. The play was Drury's Bones and starred Boris Karloff. It's an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now, The Lineup, from June 12, 1951 on CBS and later transmitted via Armed Forces Radio. We hear Junius Matthews, Wally Mayer, William Johnstone, and more in the harrowing Haggadah handball case.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
First row. He's right over there.
Oh, thanks, Quinn.
How are you, Leonard?
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
How do you feel?
Pretty good, I guess. A little uncomfortable keeping my arm up like this.
Yeah. How long will you have to keep the cast on?
About 4 months, the doctor said. Bullet shattered the bone. They had to put a new piece in.
That's tough luck.
Do you think you got the guy?
Well, if it's the same one you picked out of the mud file.
Your attention, please. Out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, then name and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice. So do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, boys, keep it moving. Right over here to the end of the stage. That's it. Now turn and face front, hands to your side. Now, when I call your number, step out and talk up so the people in the back of the room can hear you. All right. Number one, Elliot Busher, assault. Where do you live, Elliot?
154 West 108th Street.
What's that?
Number three.
Yeah, an apartment.
The small guy.
Apartment.
That's the guy.
Where do
you sure?
I'm a commercial
him.
Fisherman. I
He's the one that was driving.
Now, wait till he comes up.
Yeah,
I want you to be positive.
Okay.
What started the fight?
The guy made a remark.
What did you hit him with?
A gaff.
That's a sharp hook, isn't it?
Yeah, I use it to haul in fish. You gaff him.
Who was the man you used it on?
The guy works for
you
me.
You found any of the other men, Lieutenant? No,
I don't even know who they are yet.
Well, that third guy up there would know.
If he's the one.
He is. I was a cop for a long time, too, you know. I got
number
a memory.
Number two, Peter Mack, drove that car. Where do you live, Pete?
433 and a half North Lincoln, Sergeant.
Where do you work?
I ain't been.
Where did you work?
Fighter. Used to be a fighter. Lightweight. A little heavy now.
Any weapons?
Huh?
Any weapons on you when you were arrested?
Nah, I just climbed into the place. I didn't want to hurt nobody.
Where are you from, Pete?
Detroit. I've been here a couple of months, I guess. I couldn't find nothing to do. Can't fight no more. Got blind in this eye.
Did you have a car?
No. Where am I going to get a car?
Okay, Pete. Step back.
Yeah, okay.
Number three, Cully Price, armed robbery. Where do you live, Cully?
Lexington Avenue. 774 North Lexington Hotel.
That's him.
What's your business, Cully?
No business.
Come on, talk up, Cully.
I'm not working.
You have any weapons on you?
Yeah, 38.
38 what? Revolver, automatic?
Automatic.
Can you people out there hear him?
No.
Now you heard what I said, Cully.
Yeah.
All right, talk up. It's a long way to the back of the room.
Sure, okay.
You own a car, Cully?
No.
You were driving one at the time of the robbery?
I wasn't in no robbery.
You sure that's him?
Where are
Absolutely.
You from, Cully?
New York.
I was closer than this when he drove away.
Sergeant Graham?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Hall number three for interrogation.
Tonight? Sure. Just you and me?
Well, Quine and Asher are on duty. Maybe we can pick up a couple of others at the club.
You're gonna lose.
Like the last time?
No, I was tired.
Oh.
Yeah, hello, Cully.
Oh, how are you?
We'd like to make this short.
Okay. It's up to you.
I didn't do nothing.
Now, you just listen.
Okay.
The Spartan payroll was struck up.
So what? Just listen.
Four men wearing masks walked in and walked out with $100,000.
A guard was shot, but he got a good look at the driver of the getaway car.
Mm. Can I smoke?
Nope.
Okay.
The guard says you were driving the car.
Yeah, he's blind.
You don't want to make it short.
I want to make it plenty short. Just take my word and let me go. That's short.
He picked you out of the mug pile before we hauled you off that bus.
And so we made a mistake.
Okay, Cully.
Now, look, I'm telling you the truth. I wasn't
You're
in no rot.
You're a three-time loser.
Yeah.
One more rap, you get life.
Oh, you're going to work, huh? You've been here before. You know the routine.
Yeah, and it don't scare me.
Where'd you get the $5,000 you had on you?
I won it. Where?
On a horse.
What horse?
Sound off.
What race?
What
race? What track?
Fifth.
What track?
I don't know. I bet them all. Look it up.
What were you doing the day before yesterday?
Stayed home.
Who was in on the robbery with you?
I wasn't in no robbery.
Who were you driving the car for?
I wasn't driving no car.
How much did you bet on that horse?
Huh?
How much did you bet on that horse?
Enough to win me $5,000.
What were the odds?
I don't remember. I bet every day.
What day did you bet this horse?
Yesterday.
We picked you up getting on the bus at 11 o'clock in the morning.
No, it wasn't yesterday.
Day before?
Yeah, I think so.
Where did you bet it?
Out of books.
I thought you said you stayed home.
Well, I won out. A guy can't stay in all the time.
Who were the other four men in on the stick-up?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You read the papers, don't you?
I didn't read about no robbery.
You must have bet a lot of money to win $5,000.
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
I had it. Won it. I do pretty good on the races.
What was the name of the book?
Look, I don't want to get into no trouble.
You were identified as the man driving the getaway car.
I tell you, I didn't drive no car.
Where were you going on the bus?
Out of town.
Where?
New York. I wasn't driving no car. I wasn't in no
car. Sure you were.
No.
Who were the other four men?
I don't know. Look, can I have a drink of water?
No.
You were in your apartment that day?
Yeah.
And you went out to the bookmaker?
Yeah.
What else did you do?
I stayed in.
All day?
Yeah. I was tired. I listened to the race.
Didn't you go out for food?
No.
Who were they, Cully? Who were the other men?
There wasn't any other men. I don't know what you're talking about.
You'll get life, Cully.
For what?
For what I didn't do.
We've got enough to convict you right now.
All right, then do it. Do it. Go ahead.
We want the other four men.
Give us their names.
Nuts!
Tell me some more about that horse you won $5,000 on.
No!
Got a cigarette, Matt?
Yeah.
Come on, will you?
play off, will you? Look, come on. You've been working on me for 4 hours now.
My gosh, it has been.
Yeah. Lay off, for Pete's sake. I'm a little thirsty.
You bet the races all the time, huh, Tony?
Yeah, all the time.
You want one, Ben?
Yeah. Look, can I please have a drink, huh?
Here.
Thanks, man. How come you only got $5,000 out of a $100,000 job?
I didn't get the fry from a job. I got it, but...
Come on, Colleen.
Okay.
Who were the other four men?
Lou Holstetter, Jack Fascio, David James, and Martin Fleischman.
Fleischman?
Yeah.
He just got out 2 months ago.
He figured the job.
He would.
I got a flat $5,000, and they split the take. All I did was drive. Now, give me a drink of water. I'm losing my voice.
Number three.
Oh. I told Quine we'd be up here.
He get out an APB?
Yeah. Descriptions on all of them. I hope we get Fleischman first. He's so smart, he never argues. He'd just tell us who the rest were.
You ready to get beat?
I'm ready to find out if you can. Okay, serve it up.
All right. What do you mean, lucky?
But it sure was.
Uh-oh. Yeah, in here, Quine.
Oh, I'm just getting started.
Well, you're lucky, boy. I felt it tonight.
Yeah, you can't even get out of your own way.
Oh. Hello, athletes.
What's up?
Patrolman thinks he's got Fascio spotted. I got the building staked out. You want to come along, or should I take it?
We'll come.
We got time for a fast shower?
You can take it after you get Fascio. If it is him, he's in a steam bath.
Oh, he might even stick around for a rub down.
Booth on the end.
Okay. You go on back to the front.
Hey, there's customers in the other booth. Ain't gonna be no shooting.
He's getting a rub down, isn't he?
Yeah.
Where's his clothes?
In the other room.
Well, I don't think he's got a gun with him. Quine, go check his clothes.
Okay. Show me.
Yeah, sure.
Get up, Fascio.
Hey, look, you guys.
Relax.
You ain't got no business.
Let's go, Fascio.
I sure these guys very well, Mr. Fascio.
Police.
Huh? Oh.
Come on, Fascio.
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, who's going to pay for this mess?
If I had known I was going to get this kind of a workout, I wouldn't have suggested squash.
Teamed with the phrase household word is the name of Bing Crosby. For years, Bing has set the styles in American music. You and your entire family are invited to join Bing every Wednesday evening over most of these same CBS stations. That's Wednesday night, Bing's Night on the Air. The Bing Crosby Show, an American listening tradition.
How's the nose?
It hurts.
Oh.
It's busted.
You look much better.
It's hard to breathe.
We have been puttering in your garden, Fascio. You sure have a green thumb.
Huh?
$18,000 we dug up, Fascio.
In an old empty grapefruit can. Imagine our surprise.
Yeah, I don't trust banks.
With your circle of friends, I don't blame you. You've never been such a smooth operator, Fascio. How come your end was so much more than Cully's?
Who's Cully?
Oh, look, let's not play hide-and-seek anymore. I already got a blister digging in your devil grass.
We've got a signed confession from Cully. It's only a matter of time until we get your playmates.
Martin Fleischman, Lou Holstetter, and David James. Right, Fascio? Now, do you still want to waste time?
And I recommended Cully for the job. $5,000 he got. He ain't made that in 2 years. Why, when I run into him, he was tending bar in some sloppy saloon. I took him to see Marty, got him a suit of clothes, loaned him $100, and let him sleep on my couch. Had to get it clean, too. The crummy bum got hair oil all over the upholstery. Ouch.
You'll have to stop talking through your nose for a while, Fascio. But don't stop talking. Where do we find the rest of the boys?
I don't know. I don't get hasty. I just don't know. Holstetter was leaving the state. James, I never knew before. He was Marty's idea.
What about Marty?
Marty's smart. You'll have trouble finding Marty.
Where'd you see him last?
Look, Lieutenant, I'm not trying to be difficult. I know when to play it cozy. It's just my nose hurts.
Well, I'll have the doc look at it again, Fascio. After you tell us all you know.
Teletype from Illinois, Ben. They picked up Holstetter.
Good.
See, I told you he left the state.
Pick a couple of men. Set them up on extradition.
Right.
Well, three down, two to go. Where's Fleischman, Fascio?
I mean it, fellas. If I was you, I wouldn't know where to start looking for Marty. He's covered up good if I know Marty.
Only he doesn't know we're looking for him yet. What are his habits? What does he do with his spare time?
Well, he reads a lot. Ancient history he likes. I used to meet him at the library once in a while and drive him home. He never learned to drive.
Which library?
Big one in Central. But he wouldn't go there now. Marty's too smart to go anywhere for a while.
Matt, put a stake out on every library in town.
Right. It's worth a try.
Ah, you're wasting your time. Marty's too smart. I'd sure like a smoke, Lieutenant. Wonder if it'd hurt my nose.
Oh, here. Yeah. Try it and find out.
Using a different brand of coffee?
Well, it's that instant stuff. I thought I'd try it. Saves emptying the grounds. You like it?
Well, it's not bad. Did I tell you Molly's going away for a week?
Yeah, where?
Oh, visit her mother. It'll do her good to get away for a while.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I thought we might,
I got Holstetter out here, Ben.
I'll bring him in.
Come on, Holstetter. Lieutenant.
Last time she went away, you were like a lost puppy. Yeah. Hello, Holstetter. Sit down.
Thanks.
Glad to have you back. You should let us know when you leave town.
Look, I'm not in the mood. Get to it, huh?
All right, Holstetter. We want a full confession on the spot and hold up. Do we get it now or later?
We've got Cully and Fascio signed and sealed. Your name is very prominent in the statements.
So?
So don't be a fool, Holstetter. We don't need your confession. You just do yourself a favor.
You're a lucky boy. That guard's still alive, fella. Not the way you planned it.
I didn't shoot a...
Yeah. Go ahead, Holstetter. You were saying... Guthrie? Yeah? Are you sure? Then don't take him unless he comes out before I get there. Yeah. Come on, Matt. We may have Fleischman. You'll excuse us, won't you, Holstetter? If this is Fleischman, you boys will have a fourth for bridge. Sergeant Quine will entertain you while you're gone.
Sure, it's Fleischman, all right. Patrolman on the beat spotted him. I went up and took a look. He's in the ancient history section.
What's the setup?
Well, it's not very crowded in there. I was afraid to send too many boys up. Get suspicious. I've got two men in there with him now. One man in the hall. Two men up there at the entrance.
Anybody with him?
Didn't spot any. Just sitting there reading.
Let's take him.
Room at the end. You got the play squash?
Oh, some.
James?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Fleischman.
Is there something I can do for you?
Please, stay here, Asher. Fleischman?
Hmm? Oh.
Best keep it quiet, Fleischman.
I certainly. I was just reading The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. You know, Lieutenant?
Read it in school.
Should read it again. Very interesting.
Let's go.
I'm surprised to see you boys. Very frankly, didn't expect you.
Let's go.
Is this an arrest?
A Spartan payroll. We've got everybody but David James.
Oh, sorry, miss. All right, boys. Oh, I'll have to return this book.
Okay.
Thank you, miss.
Oh, why, yes, certainly.
I'd like to check it out, but I'm afraid I couldn't afford the overtime. Good day.
Good day, sir.
We'd like to find David James.
Would it help me?
Might.
I'm quite sure you can find him on his boat.
His boat?
He lives on it. David is a sort of a sea-going hermit. Doesn't care much for people.
Where's the boat?
The end of River Street, South Landing. It's registered under Smith.
All right, let's have your right wrist.
Certainly. It rose and fell.
Rome?
Fleischman.
To Smith.
Ain't for rent. He don't rent it.
Which one is it?
Catch. One right down there. End of the slip.
On the left?
Yeah.
Okay. You better get off the dock. Might be some trouble.
Trouble?
Police. Take him with you, Asher.
Let's go, Pop.
Hey, you want Smith?
I'll tell you all about it, Pop. Let's go.
Okay.
Pretty open.
Well, we'll just call him out. If he doesn't like the idea, give it to him.
Maybe if we got on that other boat across the slip.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I got grease all over me. Doggone.
Now, keep your head down.
David James! James! You're boxed in. Come on out with your hands up.
He doesn't want to cooperate.
James! Whole area surrounded. You haven't got...
Everybody okay?
Yeah.
I got a face full of wood.
Give me that Thompson.
You'll throw slugs all over the bay.
I'll aim low.
James! We'll give you one more chance. Come out with your hands up. Okay.
All right. Put that thing away.
Throw your gun out.
Here he comes.
Both hands up, James. I can't. You hit the other one.
Walk over this way.
Okay. Okay. You guys sure ain't got no consideration. My boat is full of holes.
All right. Give me your wrist.
That's a $6,000 catch. You ruined it. Be at the bottom in a couple of hours.
Look, friend, we did you a favor. After you do your 20 years, you just get seasick anyway.
The Lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb. Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off the number, the name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. at the end of each line when I ask for questions or identifications? Call out the number. If you're sure enough, too sure the suspect had him held. The officers that took your name will assist you in the
Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, is written by Blake Edwards and Dick Quine, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Hi Everback, Jim Nusser, Harry Lang, Eddie Marr, Junius Matthews, Ray Hartman, Dave Young, and Mary Shipp. The Lineup is produced and directed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. Gregory Peck is your star on Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills this Thursday night. Mr. Peck will star in a suspense drama as up-to-date as tonight's radio news, a story that deals with narcotics and sales to teenagers. Be listening for Gregory Peck when Suspense is heard this Thursday on most of these same CBS stations. Dan Coverly speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Lineup on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS and Armed Forces Radio broadcast from June 12, 1951. And that wraps this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.